If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Pluribus, Season 1, Episode 8, entitled Charm Offensive, the penultimate episode of the first season of The Plurbs.
The penultimate episode. Very exciting stuff. Very interesting episode we've come across here. And I will also like to note here that the HBO boys just did a wonderful Secret Santa to each other where we opened gifts live. And Ryan got me it smells like watching Pluribus again candles with notes of Carol's refusal to join the hive, which smells like peppered passion fruit. So that's a fun thing. You can listen to that over on the Patreon or on the main feed eventually.
Adam got me, for the record, a candle that smells like burning this to mask the smell of poor life choices. That's the candle he got me.
As so. It should be.
Yeah, as expected, honestly, well received. So jumping into Charm Offensive here, Carol is back with the hive.
She's back. She's back with the hive. We start off, though, with Manusos in the hospital taking a hive man hostage to try and leave when he's recovering from his giant bacteria spike wounds on his back.
Yeah, we can sort of do Manusos all at once here, I think, because there isn't a lot of him. It's just sort of interstitially woven. But yeah, Manusos wakes up in the hospital. They basically tell him that he should lay down and he should rest. He gets up. He holds a smiling man with a scalpel to his neck to get out. They just let him out after he pays for or leaves an IOU for what happened to him in the hospital. And he's back on his journey to go to Albuquerque.
Yeah. And the hospital bill here in Panama for whatever he had done was only $8,277.53.
Sounds pretty good. I almost want to, for that amount of money, fall into a spiky tree myself.
Yeah, for sure. And then go to Panama.
No, I don't want to do either of those things.
I don't
want to
do that either.
And then, you know, he is going and he's going and he's going. And I don't know. Was there anything that stood out to you in the middle? I mean, for me, it was he's going and he's at the end, he crosses into the U.S. and is traveling toward Albuquerque, where obviously Carol is located. And that's what, like, ends the episode. But
yeah,
that's basically
and Zosha says you have a visitor, which we assume is Manusos. The cover art for the final episode is Manusos in front of Carol, so that's the assumption there. But also something that I found interesting is Manusos has like these gashes on his back, right? Like very specific looking gashes, even though he fell on these spikes. And when Carol and Zosha were getting massages, Zosha had the same wounds that have like healed over. I don't know if you noticed.
Well, that's
that
from the grenade.
I know, but they look so similar. So I don't know. I know it's nothing, but they look too similar to not call it out.
Okay. No, yeah, I appreciate your woven in the sauce kind of stuff here.
I mean, that's what happens with these shows, man. That's what he's known for doing.
That's true. I do think it was the grenade, though.
I agree.
Speaking of Carol and Zosha, they're hanging out. A lot of personal time. Carol is still opposed to joining, believes it's, you know, a crime against humanity, but also acknowledges that she is lonely, so she spends like 3 days with Zosha.
Yeah, and it was very nice to see Zosha back on screen. I like her character portraying kind of the hive mentality in its entirety to Carol. And I thought that the scene with them trying to pick a game to play was funny because Zosha will just destroy Carol at every game.
Right. Yeah. Including croquet, which they also play.
Yeah.
And Zosha's just like, yeah, I'm every person. I'm so good at games.
I have so many croquet masters in my head.
They also go and see a communal sleeping space, which is a nice touch, like super cool world building there.
Super weird.
They, as you said, get a couple's massage. They share meals. And at the end of those 3 days, though, Carol tells Zosia that she thinks the way of life of the joined peoples is unsustainable and psychotic. And she's still completely committed to reversing the joining, even if it leaves her alone again, and makes Zosia like admit that she understands that and knows that to Carol's face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a lot of stuff kind of hidden in this episode too, as I'm scrubbing through it. There's notes on the whiteboard that Carol's taking as she's observing all these things that are not explicitly said, which is great detail. And I just really love the detail that they're going to build this world.
And yeah,
I think that's why this season is maybe slow for some people, because this absolutely is the world building season. Like, there's no way to get around it.
No, and I think they're doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to say is the stuff that you wrote on the board is like, they eat people. Let's all remember that. Also, the alien signal originated from Kepler 22b, for whatever that's worth. And also, like we described in a earlier episode, and like we predicted, also to be fair, like someone in the show predicted, they are in fact going to build a large antenna, but not to contact the aliens who infected them, but to spread the alien formula to other planets who don't have it yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So are these hive mind people truly connected across the cosmos? Like, are the Keplons, as she calls them, on Kepler 2022 or 2022, what is it, 226? Kepler 226?
22b.
Six. It looks like a six, Carol. Get that shit together. Kepler 226. Do you think that if Carol...
22b, whatever. It doesn't matter.
226, 22b. Do you think if Carol asked Zosia, like, hey, are you connected to the Kepler people? Did she ask that? I'm actually second guessing that now.
No, they discussed like the Bluetooth capabilities of the hive mind, basically, and how they're speaking to each other. I thought it was pretty close to inferred that it is that radio signal that Menousos found is the way that they're talking to each other. But also, what this sort of lays out pretty clearly, I'd say, is that the hive mind don't really care that it's unsustainable. They just need to be alive long enough to spread the
build
virus
the antenna.
Like it was spread to them. It's like they don't really care that they're not going to be alive in 15 years because the antennae to spread will be over by then. So it is just something that this virus is only built for one thing and one thing only, to propagate and to fend off against things that might cause that propagation not to happen, such as non-joined folks like Carol trying to mess shit up.
Yeah. And another cool detail we've learned about Kepler 22b is that it's a water world. I wonder if Kevin Costner will be on this show.
That'd be amazing. Or it is that like interstellar water planet where those aren't mountains.
Oh, where time moves incredibly slow.
Yeah, in mysterious ways, you could say.
In mysterious ways where you hear clocks ticking at all times.
Yeah. A few other points I'd like to go over. The hive mind rebuilt a diner from scratch.
Weird.
From Carol's past. They are very obviously trying to win her over. Every now and again in this episode, I thought that it was actually working on Carol. And then she would walk back into her room where she's taking notes. And it's also very clear she's in a discovery phase, right? Yeah. She's in a gather information phase. And is very, very adamant that she's still trying to reverse all this shit, but acting in front of Zosia like she's psyched.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if this is like a way she's going to end up tricking Zosia in some way into thinking she's okay with it. But yeah, the diner scene was when it was revealed that they built it for her approval and like, Carol was not chill with like the lady being pulled from across the country to be like a a meat body just standing there serving coffee. Like, it starts to put the super weird spin on really what's happening in the show.
Yeah, that was a moment where Carol cracked a little bit, right? Where, yeah, like, she's actively trying to just gather information, but when she saw that lady who, again, they flew in from Florida to do this, you know, like, okay, that's just gross.
You guys are a little obsessive.
A few other things happen in this episode. Carol pressures Zosia to speak as an individual, to not use the royal we anymore, and to say I. Zosia has a really hard time doing this, but she's working on it. And in turn, Zosia expresses to Carol that she wants her to write a new Waikaro novel. I don't know if she actually does. I think, again, they're really trying to butter her up.
Yeah.
With the end goal of, like, Carol waking up one day being like, I love you guys so much. I'm cool with joining now.
Yeah, no. And as good as these two actors are, the lady who plays Zosia, when she's, like, reacting to Carol describing the Waikaro book, it's, like, mm-hmm. almost too fangirly and, like, there is a veil of absolute deception there. Like, that is not real.
But at the same time, I do think the hive mind is interested in new art and doesn't fully understand. Like, they are so efficient and so goal oriented that I do think they were caught off guard by new information, stuff that they don't know yet. I think also point. Carol has taken in the idea of, like, maybe in my writing I can culturally imprint upon the hive mind with new words that I write down on the page. Like, that's maybe an option for her.
Yeah. And also, I keep forgetting this in the back of her literal mind, are the super crazy Waikaro fans. Her actual fans are in Zosia's head. So she could legitimately be reacting because that's, like, the fans coming out.
That's true. And then we skip 60 days ahead, and Carol asks Zosia to access and describe a few memories from Zosia's past before the joining. She tells of a childhood memory involving mango ice cream in Gdansk, which is a pretty cool scene. And also, the actress playing Zosia is just so, so, so good, like you already said.
She is great.
And then we go back to what we already discussed, where Zosia, like, kind of freezes. I thought this was a moment where Zosia was, like, almost breaking out of the hive mind. Like, I thought it was, she's having trouble connecting. Like a Wi-Fi breach. But no, this was the hive mind alerting her and interrupting the moment, letting her know that Manusos has crossed the U.S. border and is traveling to Albuquerque, where Carol's located. And like you said, that'll be the brunt, most likely, of the finale episode.
Yeah, and this is also akin to when Vegas man, Mr. Diabetes, gets interrupted with his hot tub playtime when Carol ascended on Las Vegas and the hive did what they haven't done before, which is displease someone. So I guess the meeting of these people, they don't like that, I don't think.
Well, no, it goes directly against their objective.
Yeah, which even though they facilitated it the first time.
Yeah, well, I just think that they've changed their game. They've changed their method, but the goal is still the same. To get Manusos, to get Carol, to get the other people who didn't go into the joining, to get them to join because they are erratic risks that must be quelled prior to, you know, trying to successfully propagate the virus. They're directly in the way. So the hive mind is just trying a bunch of different shit and hoping it sticks.
Yeah, I mean, they have the minds of the world. Many mathematicians, strategists of the human brain, if you will.
I will.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this final episode shakes out. What do you think we're going to see? What do you think the main overarching, besides Manusos meeting Carol and you know, them trying to decipher each other because they don't each speak Spanish, she doesn't speak Spanish, what do you think is going to be the cliffhanger? What do you think is going to be the oh shit moment?
I think we'll see Mr. Diabetes again. I think we'll have Manousos and we'll have Carol. And I think, like we described in an earlier episode, they are going to see the construction project that is the hive mind trying to get the word out. And so I think it's one of two things. It's either that, or I suppose it can be both. But like, there's this famous moment at the end of Westworld season one, which, spoiler alert for the next 30 seconds, I'm going to give you some time. If you haven't watched Westworld season one, which you shouldn't watch because it's a great episode of season of television. But if you haven't watched, skip right now. Okay, at the end of Westworld season one, there's a moment where it's really clear that the main character, Dolores, has like kind of broken away from the norm, gotten out of sync a little bit. I do think that Zosha will have, or perhaps another person in the hive, like maybe it's both, sort of a little bit of a desync based on the radio waves and Manousos letting Carol know that. And two, the plan moving forward in some way to propagate the virus, both like accelerating and interestingly happening at the same time.
Yeah, interesting. Now, as you were saying that, I'm thinking about this antenna and they're broadcasting the alien virus recipe formula across the cosmos. So it's assumed here that other worlds have had this exact same scenario happen to them. Do you think that other worlds had literally the exact same problem where some people were unjoined and they rebelled? And how did they get that across if there was a rebellion? Do you think that failed? Or do you think everyone was joined into the hive?
Yeah, I think the fact that the virus has further propagated, whether it be Kepler-22b is a secondary virus getter or patient zero, either one. Mm. I think that it's worked before. I doubt this is the first time that there have been stragglers. But I wonder, you know, how much of what the hive mind is doing is based off of past best practice.
Oh, sure.
But or not. Or maybe, you know, the virus is a new every time it lands on a new building. Or, I mean, not building, a you know, planet. And it has to just like reteach itself how to do the joining good.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. But yeah, I think you hit it with the finale. I think we're gonna see the construction of this antenna. I hope it is the size of Africa, you know, that we get to see a slow zoom out to the world being built in. I mean, 60 days isn't a long time, but with the majority of human life probably at this point now dedicated to building that antenna, who knows if they can do in 60 days?
No, I bet they're going to be, I mean, we just did a 60-day time jump, so now we're on like day 100. And I bet they're going to be further along than we assume, and that there are very efficient folks. And as previously stated, they only have a certain amount of time before they run out of people to eat.
Yeah, so. Right. Exactly right. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see how it goes. I've really enjoyed the season. I don't think that it's been slow at all. I think it's been quite the opposite. I find myself wanting more every episode. I just really like the world that Vince Gilligan is building here.
Yeah, 100%. It might go down as the best season of television of the year. We won't know that yet. I think, as we described on our HBO Boys 2025 award show that you can go find and listen to on the internet, Pluribus is up there.
Yeah.
With the likes of Severance, with the likes of The Pit, with the likes of The Studio, for, you know, some of the best television, The Rehearsal, Chair Company, all those. But for, you know, the best TV this year, and we'll see if they land the plane and bring the first season home. But I just don't see a scenario in which they don't.
Yeah, no, I think it'll land quite well here. And again, with probably a massive cliffhanger and a long 2-year wait until we get season two.
Yeah, no matter what, that is something I will guarantee for myself and for everyone else. Whatever the end is, it will be infuriating.
It's almost like I want to stop watching now and then wait till the new season comes out to watch the finale, and then I can go right into the new season.
I appreciate that level of restraint. I do not have that.
No, I don't either, but you know, it had crossed my mind because I still have yet to watch the last episode of the Grand Tour because it's just too heartbreaking.
Aw, that's sad.
I know.
You should.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know.
If you want to find us on the internet, patreon.com/HBO. B-O-I-Z is the way to do it. So what do we do about the HBO boys with the Patreon, Adam?
Yeah, well, so for a dollar more a month, you get all this stuff early, ad-free. You get some Patreon exclusives and some other things kind of peppered throughout the year as we can do them. But we also get your name read out at the end of each and every episode. God, I am butchering this. So sorry, guys. But we'd like to thank Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner. Please, Adam, please, Adam, please, Adam, please, Adam, please. I miss James, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzles, C. Fritz, and Pumpkin Season 4. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate all of you for giving us those dollar bills, y'all. And please also follow us on our social medias at the HBO Boys Podcast or the HBO Boys Pod on Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm very active over on Threads. I am periodically on TikTok liking and commenting on things that are fun and movies related stuff. So get at me over there and interact, like, comment, and share, and subscribe, and all that cool stuff that people say at the end of videos.
That's true, man. Also, we just did 3 podcasts in one night. Mm. Big time stuff.
Big time stuff. We got HBO Boys Christmas Secret Santa episode. We have the HBO Boys Awards, and we have this episode, Pluribus. What is it? Episode 7? 8? I don't even know anymore.
8, The Charm Offensive. And we'll be back for one more podcast before the end of the year talking about the season finale of Pluribus, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, very excited. Can't wait. And well, that's all I got to say about that.
That's true. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Chrysler.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.